Praise the Lord. Shalom, Bride Assembly. Emmanuel Adolfo from Ghana. Please, I believe in what you preach because it is from the Bible. But my question is, how did you come by the Sunday worship? Jesus said he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now tell me, who is the Lord of Sunday? That must be a Sabbatarian. I'm sure this question came before I quoted Colossians chapter 2. So Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17 is the answer. The Lord of Sunday is the Lord of Monday, is the Lord of Tuesday, is the Lord of Wednesday, is the Lord of Saturday, is the Lord of every day. And it is the same Jesus. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's not the Lord of any particular day only. And Sunday is not a holy day. Sunday is a holiday. There's a difference between holiday and holy day. Amen. And I've explained that also several times, that it was traditionally a day, not by commandment, but traditionally, that the apostles used that day to recognize the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, to commemorate, to remember the day that Jesus Christ resurrected. And that is more important than any other day. The day that Christ defeated death. And that is why we gather on Sundays, to remember him. And there is no law for it. If you like, you go to church on Sunday. If you like, you don't go. There is no special day again. God bless you.
So I'm really happy to be in your midst this evening. I'm an online member. So
from where?
From Adamawa.
You came from Adamawa?
Yes, sir. So
you're welcome.
Yes, sir. So I have one question, but before then, when I was in Adamawa, I was before I came here across your channel, so I was watching all this TB Joshua and celebration. So when they are doing deliverance or everything, I used to watch it. But when it comes to time of message, I quickly change the channel. So luckily, when I change the channel, I click to Bright TV. So that day, you were opening on Revelation, you are praying about. I said, what did this man know about Revelation? So because so many churches, they don't even open Revelation or read anything about it. So I've become very curious. I want to know what this man knows about Revelation. So as he was explaining everything and William Branham, so I took my Bible. So all those things, I found it to be very perfect with the scripture.
Clap your hands now.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
So I was very happy. So that day, so I made plan. I was to leave to Ilorin to go and meet my brother in Ilorin. So I prepared. So as I was leaving, I packed my bag the same day. So as I packed everything, I took the remote again. Because I will be living somewhere with my brother sometimes in Ilorin. So as I take the remote, I click on Bright Channel. So luckily for me, because while I'm going in Ilorin, I can't find any church there. So I've watched the Bright TV for some time in Adamawa State, like about 1 year. So I was to leave to Ilorin. So that same day, as I clicked to Bright Channel, I saw this man's number, Pastor Adenyika in Ilorin. So I quickly copied the number the same day.
Amen.
So I went to Ilorin. So when I called the pastor, so he directed me. So I went to church. I attend there on Sunday. So where I'm living in Ilorin is very far away from where the church is. So I now ask the pastor to, maybe there's any church that is closer to me in Ilorin that should direct me there. So he gave me the address. So the church is not too far away from me. So I'm going there, attending there.
Amen.
So I find it quite different from what you are preaching there.
Eh.
Yes, sir. So the pastor and maybe the associate pastor was firmly against television. Very. As he said, he even mentioned your name, that if you meet you one day, you have to repent. So I don't really understand. The man was very firmly against television and other things, so I don't understand.
And you told him that through the television you come.
That's what I used to. I said, it doesn't matter. It's
and
what
yet
you want.
If he meets me, he'll tell me to repent. It's part of the confusion. in the following of the ministry of William Branham. When they take the quotes, statements that William Branham made, and misplace what that man meant by what he was saying. Yes, at the time Brother Branham was doing his ministry, television was just coming up, and it was a medium by which all manner of things were being propagated. And they will not see the quote that William Branham said, "If only there can be any station where only the Christian programs can be shown, that would have been better." But as at that time, there was none. And he condemned all the things that were going on. Now, to tell you that they did not understand William Branham, now we have now graduated far from the evil effect of television to the internet. Now, William Branham did not know anything about internet, so he didn't say anything about internet. Therefore, they will hold on to internet. Now, internet and television, which one is worse?
Internet.
That, and then they have internet. There's nothing wrong because William Branham did not say anything about it. That tells you that they quickly become a tool that Satan can use to kill this glorious light. If only he can make them say, "No television, no television." Then he's encouraging these false churches with television and spreading all the false something. And people have no means of hearing the truth. He succeeded and caged them. But you can't catch the word of God. When it is time to use the television, God will raise a television ministry. 24 hours, a channel is broadcasting the entire message. Come and tell me what is seen in it. That tells you they never understood that man of God, William Branham. So, and if you watch such a place, they are as dead as graveyards.
That's true.
No life. They are the ones that call it, maybe they play tape. You hear the voice of William Branham. And you, African man, you don't hear anything the man they talk. Praise God. So that is part of the thing that Satan used to destroy this entire message. Until people, they are hearing or they are thinking that we are just saying something new, when this thing has been in this country since early 70s. But because of the platform we have, people are hearing it. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Another question. Sister Gloria from Lokoja, you said that Coke and wine, should it be used for communion? Which one is the best? Again, the Bible says that we should remove all our earrings, attachments, etc., which your members did. Is the hand ring not part of it? Well, if you show us the scripture for hand ring to understand what you mean, then we will repent if there is anybody with a hand ring. Amen. The other one is a coke. Amen. We are to use wine for communion, not to cook. The wine must contain some percentage of alcohol, because everything concerning the communion must be speaking something about the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The alcohol there speaks of the preservative power of the Holy Ghost that preserves us until the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed, preserved until the day of redemption. The preservative power of the Holy Ghost is what is typed by the wine. And wine gives life. Alcohol gives life to that wine. As long as that alcohol is in that wine, it will never expire. It never spoils. That is what it speaks of. And then it gives you excitement. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you get excited. That excitement, touch not the oil and the wine. The wine there is the excitement that you receive from the Holy Ghost. The reviver it gives you. Okay, the oil there is the Holy Ghost. And what's the other one? So you don't use to cook. You don't use zobo. You don't just use something because it is red. It's more than that. The bread must not be ordinary bread. It must be unleavened. Yeast will not be inside. Because yeast speaks of sin that corrupts. So there must be no, because the body of Jesus Christ, there was no sin in him. So the bread must be unleavened bread, says the scripture. God bless you. Yes, please.
Praise the Lord, church. Amen. God bless you, sir.
God bless you too.
For using you to reveal the truth. Hallelujah. It was last year I discovered this truth through my decoder, and I joined this commission.
Clap your hands. Especially all of you that have been sponsoring this channel. You are seeing the effect now.
And the same day I step in here, January 8th, on Friday night, it was that the same day I was rebaptized. Because I hear the truth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir, once again. I want to ask a question. Just two or three questions. We are learning every day. Number one question, sir. Is it necessary for someone, most in a minister setup, as a minister, is it necessary for somebody to have a father in the Lord, as we do always here? Because why this question? I have seen all occasions whereby either a minister or not a minister, you went somewhere either to see another pastor, he will ask you, who is your father in the Lord? And when you tell him that, well, I don't have father in the Lord, I'm still praying for God to show me my father in the Lord, a help that could have rendered to you will not be rendered to you because you don't have father in the Lord. Now, I'm asking, is it necessary? That is one. And secondly, if it's necessary...
Okay, go ahead.
And if it's necessary for someone, mostly as a minister, to have father in the Lord, and you discover that now you have known the truth, and your father in the Lord is not in the end time message, is among these ministers who believe, so you know what I'm saying, amen. Now what are you going to do? Are you going to disown him as a father in the Lord, or... what are you going to do? I have more, sir.
Listen,
before I ask the next question.
Listen, church. I taught something in the Seminary Church Age, in our study of the seven church ages. That was the beginning of the Nicolaitan spirit. It's a Nicolaitan spirit. That was the beginning of the entrance of Satan taking over lordship of God's inheritance. Listen, anything the denominational, average denominational preacher will pick in the Bible and use to his advantage, he will take it. Yes, Apostle Paul referred to Timothy as his son in the Lord. So if he's his son in the Lord, then by inference, he is his father in the Lord. And why did he say he's his son in the Lord? Why will somebody become your father in the Lord? He is your father in the Lord because he raised you up. You walked with him. He brought you up. Spiritually speaking, therefore, you can refer, for the purpose of respect, you can refer to him as your father in the Lord, or he can call you his son in the Lord because there is a relationship. You were tutored by him. You grew up under him. I have children that grew up under me. Naturally, I am not their biological father, but all that the father would have given them, I gave to them. Naturally speaking, they call me their daddy. Now, it's because of that relationship. So, now they have made it through the Nicolaitan spirit that you are not recognized as a minister until somebody brings you up. Who is your father in the Lord? And it's because of this that in Matthew 23, Jesus Christ said, call no man father. So that he does not have the final say over you. It's just for the purpose of guidance. You must not have a father in the Lord. I say confidently because, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We have various means of coming into the ministry. Me here, I don't have a father in the Lord. The people that got me converted made me to see this entire mess. In fact, it was through Four Square Gospel that I gave my life to Christ. But when the entire message came and my eyes were open, I went to put the truth to them. I discovered that they could not go beyond the level they were. So God only used them to get me converted. They could not go beyond, for God so loved the world. So I had to move on. If I remain with them, I will not move forward. And so I met this group now that brought the entire message from Akowanjo Church. They baptized me and my family. But after some time, I noticed some things they were doing, and I challenged them. And instead of them to repent, they were trying to fight me. I found my level. Amen.
Amen.
Because you have nothing to add to me. I thank God, whatever I needed to know, God used them for me to know. But when it's time to move forward, I must move forward and leave them. So this thing about making it a prerequisite for ministry, that you must have a father in the Lord. I have so many people that write me letters from around the world. I want you to be my father in the Lord. I will be laughing. I know where you catch that spirit from. I should be your brother in the faith, not your father. That's what people don't understand. It's nothing like that. Praise the Lord. So you are free to move ahead. God brought you to this ministry to receive deliverance from any spiritual father. Some of them bewitch you until you can't leave them. Small time, they will say they are gathering all their children, the sons of the prophets. And all funny names they give, and God will help all of you.
Amen. So second question before the last one. You mentioned when you are talking about prophets, that before you give a prophet a gift, that what he has said or prophesied, you should wait on that come to pass before you can release your prophet gift or seed. But sir, there is a way. I don't know if my understanding or my own understanding is not right, sir. That's why I'm asking this question for you to put me more through. According to the book of 1 Samuel 9, verse 5. When the servant of Saul told Saul, there is a man of God in this city. Let's go. Perhaps he may tell us our ways. Because they know that this one is a genuine man of God. Now, sir, I am not asking this question on a platform of fake prophet. I'm asking this question on a platform that you know that this one is a genuine prophet. This one is a real man of God. And also, I also believe it's not only those who come and tell us, thus said the Lord, or your name, or your problem is a prophet. So as you are, by his grace, you are a prophet. And what you are telling us, you are also prophesying. That's what I also believe. Now my question is, what I'm asking now, based on what you said, that is not until the person see the manifestation of the prophecy before he can give a prophet a gift.
God bless you. Listen, you didn't hear me well. If you have already confirmed him to be a genuine prophet, so you have no doubt again now.
Okay.
So what I am talking about, those who you have not yet confirmed.
Okay.
Wait till you are confirmed before you take any gift to him. That's what I'm saying. Because People have invaded the ministry now. And they will be demanding. A true prophet will not demand. Where is the prophet offering? Where is the prophet give? You enter here empty-handed. Some, even in their counseling table, there is a plate there by the table. Say, they will not ask you, but they have a way of doing it. They keep it there, then they will bring some money from their pocket and drop it there. So that when you enter, you are talking to him, you will see money on that plate. Then you will know that that plate is offering plate.
Even in my area, sir, there are some prophets in my area. They have senior prophets.
So I am only teaching you wisdom so that you don't fall mugu.
Okay, thank you, sir.
To those,
the last question. Prophets. Can someone operate a ministry without ordination? Or operate a church without proper human ordination?
Praise the Lord. Who ordained Peter? Quickly, answer me quickly. Who ordained Peter?
But my own understanding, I may say it's Christ, because he was Christ.
Christ ordained him.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Is Christ still ordaining people now?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
It's still part of the Nicolaitan spirit that tells you, unless a man ordained you, you are not recognized. No man ordained me. But you say, I am a servant of God. Why? He ordained me by himself.
But sir, you make a statement, I think, I cannot remember how the ministry started, when you are talking about ordination, that the three people that you started with, you tell them to ordain you.
By which authority?
By the authority of
God. That was my own way of downplaying the fact that some greater person will have to come and ordain me before I start ministry. I downplay it by the people who were praying together and say, oh yeah, lay hand on me. That was my own way of rubbishing that nonsense. And that whether you ordain me or not, I am in the ministry. He has called me.
Bless you, sir.
God bless you. Yes?
Good evening, sir.
Until some people run to belong to a certain group of people. I have a question on the screen, brother. Star. The Star of Ghana. Pastor, may you please clarify the following for me. How do I reconcile Luke 2, 36 to 38 with the exclusion of women in the fivefold ministries? Secondly, doesn't the use of worldly rhythms in playing gospel music constitute eating what has been sacrificed to the gods? Shalom, sir. Can we read Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38? And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I'm sure you are asking this question because we say we cannot ordain a woman into the ministry. God does not ordain women and bring them into the fivefold ministry. But a woman can have a spirit of prophecy and prophesy. But that does not make her occupy the office of a prophet in the fivefold ministry. Yes, in the Old Testament, Miriam was a prophetess. Yes, in another scripture, Philip's daughters were prophesying. And here also, there are sisters here that prophesy. But we will not bring them to the point of recognition. That's what ordination does, recognizing them in that office. We will not do that because the Bible is against it. Now concerning using worldly rhythm to play Christian gospel. I hope I understand what you mean. What is sin generally? What is the definition of sin? Sin is righteousness perverted. That's it. What is fornication? What is adultery? It's a perversion of what God has ordained legally between a man and his wife. That's the perversion. What is lie? Lie is truth perverted. So what is the worldly music? Music is a gift from God. But that precious gift of singing perverted. If only to be used to sing to the glory of God as it is ordained, then you should instead be saying, why should a gift of God, music, inspired by God, why should you be using it and singing worldly rhythms with it? I think the reverse should be your question. And that brings a condemnation upon all them that do it. God bless you. Yes.
Yeah, good evening, sir. I have a problem. When I came from traveling and to the airport, when I got to the airport and I was looking for change. And then that time I was not safe anyway. And I gave US dollar to someone to change, and they duped me. But then I forgot that I did not give the US dollar, so I was running after the person up and down because he ran away with the money, and he did not give me all the money that he's supposed to give me. And we were two together, and the person was running behind him, myself was running behind him. We could not find him. So when I got in the car, I found out that the US dollar, I did not give it to him, it was in my hand. So that's, but in fact, he was trying to steal from me, but he stole from himself. And then while I got in the car, he said, I saw someone turning up and down, and I wanted to calm down. And the person that was with me said, don't calm down. So what can I do in that case? Because since I got safe, I've been worried. I said, but even though you are trying to dupe me, but I forgot to give him the money that we went to change because he was doing fast to run away. And then after he left, I found all the money left in my hand. So that I don't know what can I do. That thing has been bothering me. So I said, let me ask.
Amen. Yeah. Are you from Cameroon?
No, sir. I'm a Liberian, sir.
Oh, Liberian.
Yeah.
Okay. Liberian. So you are feeling guilty that you accuse him wrongly?
Oh, he came, I went to change. And then he did not give me the change. He duped me. He did not give me the complete change. And then he ran away. So I was looking, crying. I said, they have duped me.
The dollar you would have given him instead was with you.
I forgot that I don't give him, sir.
That he didn't take it.
And you could
not locate him again.
No. He came, I think he was the one, but I was in the car. So I was coming home. When I looked, I saw somebody looking around. But he could not come and ask because he know that he duped. But I can remember that I was telling the driver that I think he could be the person. So the driver should stop. He did not stop. But then when I was crying in the car, later I looked in my hand and saw the US dollar in my hand that he could not take it.
So you are feeling guilty that you would have given him the dollar, but you didn't give him.
Yeah.
That is, you are feeling guilty. Of course, you were wrong since you discovered that he didn't cheat you after all, though he meant to cheat you, but God stopped him. That would have been an opportunity for you to call him and tell him, you see, you meant to cheat me, but my God didn't allow you to take your dollar.
No, I was in the car now. The car left.
The car left. You couldn't. Well, you must also understand, God understands the peculiarity of our situations any given time. Yeah. You have to understand that.
Okay.
Yes.
One more question, sir.
Yes. Let me not forget this. There is an aspect of a question we didn't answer that's reminding me. Somebody who says he went, maybe he goes to collect one naira change, and then instead, when giving mistakenly, the person gives him, he finds out, gives him two naira over. So he's saying that he feels he should go and go to the area to look for the person. He feels it is wrong. Of course, I think when you discover what you discover, you've done something wrong and it can be corrected, you correct it immediately. But if it cannot be corrected, then God understands you didn't steal it from him.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, excuse me, one more
because
question.
Because this same thing has happened to me one time. I went to collect some money from a bank to give somebody. And I got home long after I received a call and said, there's a lady that paid me money in the bank and that she discovered she paid me over about up to about 50,000 naira extra. Well, I didn't count the money. And I told him, you can be sure, if I count the money and it is over, I will return it to you. Years back. And I counted the money and I discovered that it was over by that amount. And I went back to the bank and I gave it to her. Why will I take it? It's not my money. If I take it, that's stealing.
Okay. The second question is this. It is right that you working in a church, a worker in a church, and you are not married? It is right?
You are working in a church?
Yeah, as a worker.
What type of work?
You are working as a prayer team. You are in a prayer team. And you are ushering God's people in a church, and you are not married. But anytime you feel guilty, you go, you ask a pastor, he will tell you, say, don't worry, just keep on.
Oh, you are living with a...
Yes.
If the person is living with a man that is not married.
Yes, and you are working in a church. Is this right? Like that.
And then you meet the pastor.
And the pastor
says, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, don't worry.
That man is not a man of God. He himself is a fornicator. That pastor is a fornicator. Not only that, you not only work. If we know, we will drive you from the church. You are a bad example. If we know, anybody you know is living with a man that he has not married, living with a boyfriend, and is coming here to say, I'm a member of Bride Assembly. If you are here, it's because we don't know you. If we know you, you will never come. We church. Nothing like that. Yes? Another one, Hilary Chukuma from Germany. Shalom, Pastor, please. Why do so many men of God curse the day they were born? Jeremiah 20:14. And Job as well. Secondly, if I want to marry a lady and my mother says no, and the woman has a child for me before I met this end time message, please, Pastor, what should I do? The first one, Jeremiah and Job, is nothing but an expression of how human they are, despite, you know, how spiritual, how much God has used them. There are estates where these men of God come to and also display how human they are when they go through certain situations, certain conditions, and it looks as if everyone has forsaken them. They begin to get that canal in their anguish. They begin to make such statements, I cursed the day I was born. What he's saying is, if you say, they not born me for this one, I won't go through what I am going through. And you should understand that when you see what situation they were, you yourself will have spoken worse. Okay. Now the second one is, you want to marry a woman and your mother says no. That means it is your mother that is supposed to give you wife. If it is your mother that is supposed to give you wife, then why are you bringing God into the matter? Or why are you bringing me into the matter? What do you want me to tell you when your mother has a final say concerning your marriage? I don't think I have anything to say to people like you. Praise the Lord. Because I can only advise you placing myself in your position. Scripturally, Evil girl, God step aside and say, the man that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Your own, now your mama they find for you. Bomb boy. Any woman that marry you is in trouble. Now your mama go tell you how you will live with her. Bomb boy. Yes, brother?
Thank you, sir. So my question is, there is a parable Jesus spoke on in Matthew chapter 13. So from verse 24. From verse 44. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a measure in a field, that when which a man findeth, he hid. So that's part of the Bible. I don't understand it.
Since when have you been listening to us?
This year, sir.
Which scripture did you read now?
Matthew 13, from verse 44.
Matthew 13, and from verse 44. Matthew 13. There are seven parables that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. Jesus Christ was speaking of the seven church ages that the church will pass through, using seven parables to describe what each age will look like. And when he came to verse 44, he gave the parable. That parable there, let me read it again, where he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure. Like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had and buyeth that field. That was the age of Martin Luther. Luther is that man that was excelling in the Catholic faith until the day God met with him and told him that all these penances and all these things you are observing in Catholicism, he said, will not take you anywhere. The just shall live by faith. He caught that revelation and with joy, all that he had known in Catholicism, he threw it away and held onto that gospel. That began the Protestant movement that produced what we have today. Jesus Christ was speaking it in a parable. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. My next question is, how can you differentiate this parable from the next parable that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter, the same chapter and verse 45?
Verse 45. Read it again.
It says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. Seeking goodly pears.
He was seeking goodly pears. Let's read it again.
Seeking goodly.
Goodly pears, verse 46. Ooh, that's the continuation. When he had found one pear of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. It is a pear of great price. That was the age of John Wesley. Holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. He found it. Not just justification preached by Luther. There must be holiness, but true holiness goes with a price. And the price is normally great. Go and ask our sisters who have to drop palming their hair, drop wearing trousers, painting their faces, painting their bodies, to get God. For without holiness, you cannot see God. But it goes with a great price. It was John Wesley that caught it. And that was when God was restoring the second stage, walk of grace. The first one, Luther, was justification. The third one, the second one, was the sanctification. Without holiness, you cannot see God.
Thank you, ma. The last question, sir. I want to ask, can a genuine deliverance take place under a false prophet?
Can a true prophecy come forth from an animal? You know what? This is the way William Branham put it. William Branham says, even those who go to Babalawo, he says it's not the Babalawo that heals them. He says it's their faith. It is their faith. So what God honors and what brings miracles and what brings deliverance is your own faith. So anywhere God can meet with you, anywhere where there is faith. God bless you. Praise God. You don't do. Can we stand up? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest land, but holily on Jesus' name. On Christ the soul, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please forgive me if I use the wrong language on you today. Hallelujah.